Oh, I love that. Is that for Loyola? Hungry like with the Wolves? Nice. That's a great. My sister had Duran Duran posters in her room. Big fan. She loved. Not Simon Le Bon, but who was the Taylor? Andy? Was it Andy Taylor? Or I don't know. Duran Duran. That's who that is. Taking you back. Celebrating that Rambler victory. I know they're the Ramblers, but then they have the Wolf mascot. Is that confusing? I'm rambling right now because I can't even get feedback. I'm not talking to anyone. We'd love some feedback, though. The lines are open, 312-981-7200. Very excited about my final guest here. Again, it's Pat McGann. I'm in for Karen Conti. Kind of nervous about this, too, because this guy was my high school coach, the head coach at my high school, and I was a basketball freak, and you can relate to this, right? You walk in into high school, and there's the head coach of the program, and lucky enough, my senior year, I made the team. I did not make it sophomore year or junior year. I played my freshman year and my senior year, and didn't get a lot of playing time. I probably have some guys that I played with texting in here. You didn't even play. That was my dad last night. He said, oh, you're having your coach on? Why don't you ask him why you didn't play? But I learned so much from this guy, and not just about basketball, but really about life. I really look up to this dude because in between the lines and when it was on basketball time, very serious dude, and ran a great program. I thought he taught us a ton of great things. But then off the court and in the building, going into his office, just the best guy, funny guy, legendary guy. He's a Hall of Famer at Marist High School, Hall of Famer at St. Xavier University. And he finished his career at Richards High School, where he was the athletic director when they won a state championship. I have a lot to talk to him about, and I'm going to bring him in right now. Coach Ken Styler. Coach Styler, what's up?
Spin doctor, what's going on?
Nice to hear you. You're the only person that still calls me spin doctor, and I live for it. If that doesn't date our relationship, I made a spin. You want to tell the story and why you call me spin doctor?
Yeah, I'll tell a story. We're up. It's late, maybe 3-4 minutes left in the game. I clear the bench.
That's where I came in.
You're going on a fast break. Some guy's got an angle on you, tried to cut you off, and he kind of did. You planted, spun it midair, kissed it off the glass. It goes in. I'm standing in front of the starters that are sitting on the bench, and I just turn to them. I go, "The spin doctor."
How many nicknames have you given in your life?
You know, a lot, because in those days, nicknames were, you know that, Pat, they were very heavy. It was, everyone had a nickname, and there were some guys that actually didn't know people's real name.
Oh, sure.
Just knew them by their nicknames.
Well, Gene,
I think it was more prevalent back in those days in the 90s. And again, you're going back 27 years ago since you graduated in 94. But nicknames were very prevalent and huge at that time, probably a little more so than today.
We had a guy a couple years older than me who went on and played at Washington St. Louis, and I think he's still got their scoring record. And then coach at Marist after you left, Gene Nolan,
yes.
Did you give him Radar? That was a great nickname.
Yeah, Radar, and his other nickname was Sonar.
Sonar.
Because he could shoot. He was such a great shooter and such a great free throw shooter that he had a built-in radar.
Yeah. So, Coach, I want to talk to you because you sent me a text not too long ago. You said, get some new material. I got a couple of bits that are really probably definitely influenced by you. I never name you, right? I have
which is a good thing.
No, I have the bit about you talking to us in the, and this is, I want to talk about this, how coaches used to talk to kids, right? I mean, you had some length, like, and we rolled with it. It was normal, but you would get in there like, this guy's,
yeah, you're right.
It was Bobby Knight style a little bit, right? I mean, you never put your hands on us.
He was one of my idols. I worked his camp when they won the national championship. I was fortunate enough to do that, but back in those days, we got away with a lot more stuff. The language I used was not very good. And there was more of a sense of camaraderie where, you know, what was said in the locker room stayed in the locker room. And nowadays, I don't think that's true. But I just tried to have fun with you guys.
Oh, we had the best time. I'm not
as normal as possible.
It was.
I had some bad language back in those days that probably today you cannot obviously get away with.
Well, we all had the bad language. We were a team, and we were in a locker room, and it was just a good time. It was the culture. I don't think anybody was really raising their eyebrows about it. You had your own lingo too that we would pick. You'd talk, you know, people that were guys struggling. This guy's he's a dinosaur.
He's brutal.
He's brutal.
Yep, I remember all those crazy days.
They were great moments. And then we did have a good team.
Obviously, Pat, teachable moments. Do you remember a lot of this stuff from the locker room and on the bench and in timeouts and all this 27 years later? What does that tell you?
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, I have a group text with the entire team. And we talk about, you know, we're still in touch. And it was a real, significant part of our lives. You know, we went down to Centralia. Yeah. We had the out-of-town tournament. We really bonded there. And I know we fell short. Just to let people know, Antoine Walker, Donovan McNabb were on that Mount Carmel team that won that tournament. And that was a heck of a high school basketball team.
It was. They were loaded. Loaded.
Yeah.
A lot of talent.
Yeah. So, Coach, the one bit I have is you getting after us in the locker room, trying to fire us up, using some salty language, if people say salty, and then bring it up, and then we're into the Hail Mary, full of grace, like into the prayer, right? That's the bit. And
I transitioned right into that, which is probably not a good thing.
But hilarious, and also every coach does that.
Yeah, really.
I mean, but Coach, I've done that joke throughout the country. And people relate to it.
What?
I said, I've done that joke throughout the country. People relate to it. I mean, you weren't doing anything out of the ordinary.
No, not at all. It's just that material was hilarious. It brought back to me memories because I forgot a bunch of that stuff and that was said and all that. And then when you were talking, I was reflecting back and saying, you know what? Pat is absolutely right and speaking the truth. And remember, I was giving you crap about you need some new material. You got it. But it is true. People must think it's just a joke or you're making it up. But I hate to admit it. It was the truth. But all that, when you kept using that stuff in some of your events, I was looking, I was giving some crap looking for some royalties from that because I know you're making good money.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Proud of you. We're proud of you going from a paper salesman to a comedic icon.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of impressive. Very impressive.
No, I mean, it's fun doing stand-up, but I appreciate you saying that. Now you got me all. You're too nice,
Coach.
No,
that was good stuff. Good.
But I wanted to ask you, because when we talked about it, and this really sent a light off in my head, you said to me, think about how my coaches were to me, and the culture that you grew up was much different than the one that we were in.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that goes back to, Woody Hayes days, and, it's it's an ever-changing atmosphere in the world of sports. Are you into the tournament this year?
Yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, Pat, I don't know if you know or a lot of your viewers do, because I went with a bunch of guys. We go to the Final Four every year since 1994. Went to one game in 2007 in Atlanta. We go down to the site of the Final Four, but never go to the games.
Oh, that's funny.
And I go with about 10, 15 guys. The last year, obviously, we didn't go. This year, we didn't go. And then when it was in Detroit, we didn't go. But other than that, I think from 94, which was the last non-dome game in the Charlotte Coliseum, we've been going almost every year and having a ball.
That's great. What a great tradition. And I'm sure you're...
Oh, it's a great tradition.
All right, Coach, I want to keep talking to you. If you don't mind hanging out, I want to come right back to you. I have a great story about I met John Paxson. Told him where I was from, and he said, do you know Ken Styler? We're going to talk to Coach Styler some more when we come back. Pat McGann, WGN 720. Pat McGann in for Karen Conti, and I'm very happy to continue this conversation with my high school basketball coach, Ken Styler. Coach, I want to tell you this story because I was in Dayton, Ohio, where I went to school, actually, UD.
Yep. Yep.
And I was working at the comedy club there. Now, I have some friends that live in Dayton. One of my friends married John Paxson's sister. So he invites me over to watch some hoops during the day. And I go over there. Did not know that John Paxson was there. So I walk into the house, and there's John Paxson. And I'm like, what? And introduces, you know, I get introduced to him. Asked me where I'm from. Where'd you go to high school? I said, Marist High School. He goes, do you know Ken Stiler? Coach. It was a bonding experience. I got to hang with Pax with Stiler stories. It was beautiful.
Legend. I worked as, the reason I knew him is I worked his camp for many years with the legendary Bob Sullivan, and obviously you well know, and our beloved assistant Brian Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a great staff, and we worked Paxson's camp for so many years, we became pretty good friends. As a matter of fact, he came to one of the games at Marist when we played Marion Catholic, and Brian Tucker at the time, who was our assistant at the time, was the head coach of Marion, and he came to see both of us coach against each other because we both worked his camp. But he's Pax is a great guy.
That's awesome.
Ohio. Great guy.
Yeah, that's so
and
great that he came out.
Hit the shot that was heard around the world when they beat the Phoenix Suns in the NBA championship.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, I think every Chicagoan remembers where they were when he hit that shot. That was phenomenal. The
heard around the world.
The thing about his camp was he kind of took it over from Doug Collins, right?
He did. Doug ran it for many years and then kind of gave it up as time went on. And then Pax, I think Bob Sullivan, the director, talked Pax into taking it over. He took it over and ran it for, I don't know exactly how many more years, but we had a lot of fun. And I think, Pat, you were a camper when you were a young kid.
I sure was.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I went to Doug Collins' camp for a few years. And then afterwards, like Cosme and I, Hyland, we were counselors there. We worked the camp later, which I loved. It was phenomenal. Got to meet a lot of coaches, and it was a real, like, you guys had like a real fraternity of coaches. And I often wondered, I don't know if you'll tell me now on air, what did you guys do?
We still keep in touch with each other. A lot of great memories and great stories and a lot of great guys. And we still keep in contact through some threads, some text threads that we keep in touch with each other.
Were you guys, what were you guys doing after it was like lights out and we were all asleep, ready for the next day? I had a sense that maybe the coaches were getting together.
Yeah, we got together and had a few refreshments and talked about, debriefed the day, what worked well, what didn't, and had to make some changes and improvements for the next day over a few refreshments.
That is perfect. All right, so
that
Coach.
Make us bad, does it?
No, not at all. And Coach, so I know you from the Marist days, and you're indeed a legend on the South Side. You just retired a year ago, and it was all over the Beverly Review, and every paper out there was talking about your career and your contributions to the South Side of Chicago. You went from Marist, though, to Richards, and that's a part of your life I really don't even know a whole lot about. And tell these people about your years there with Dwayne Wade.
Well, when I left, I was at Marist for 21 years. I left in 2000. That was the same year Dwayne Wade graduated from Richards. I became the head basketball coach, taught driver ed for 2 years, and then became the athletic director for the last 17 years. So I got to meet Dwayne. I never coached him, and he was a freshman at the time at Marquette, but he was ineligible. He was a Prop 48, so he come back in the gym and asked if he could shoot around and all that, and I was running a little kids camps that we've done for many, many years at Marist. And then he became into stardom and being one of the best players on the planet. And I've met him many times. He's a good guy and has done a lot for the school in terms of giving back some product and clothing and shoes and stuff for the kids. So it was a good experience.
That's awesome that he stepped up and did that. Our days together, Marist High School, all boys high school, and then you go to Richards, co-ed public high school. Got to be world difference.
Yeah, it was. And people refer to me as a scarred Catholic for leaving the Catholic system, going to the public school system. But one of the interview questions I'll never forget, Pat, and this won't surprise you, they said, well, you're coming into a co-ed environment. You've worked with young men your whole life for the last 21 years. How are you going to deal with females? I said, that's a great question. I said, let me tell you something. I got five sisters. They're all older. I have five sister-in-law. I'm married. I have a daughter. He goes, good answer.
You know,
he was trying to go, you know, play the gender thing or the gender card. And I'm like, no, hold on. So I found that funny. But they were saying that was such a negative to work in an all male environment, which it wasn't at that time in those days. It was a good thing.
Yeah. And you married your high school sweetheart, correct? You've been together 40 years.
My high school sweetheart, Kathy Boyle, that was her maiden name. And we have four children. We were married 1980 for 40 years. Former cheerleader, my high school love and sweetheart, my darling.
Oh, are you looking at her right now?
No, I'm not.
No, you sound like you are. You are so in love. I love it, Coach.
Yeah, then we had four children. Two graduated from Marist, one graduated from Richards, and our daughter graduated from Mother McCauley.
And now you're a grandfather.
And now I'm a grandfather five times.
Wow.
And speaking of Loyola, I have two. My son, Brendan, and my daughter, Mary Kate, both played volleyball at Loyola and graduated from Loyola. My son was down there at the game today, so they're big, huge, obviously Rambler fans, and looking to see how far they can go in the tourney.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, they looked really good today.
They did really look. I couldn't believe the disparity of the inside scoring. I think they outscored them by 12 points on points in the paint, and I thought that Coffee was going to start dominating, but God, Kretwig and the way Loyola plays, the style of play and team ball, it's unbelievable. They didn't forget the big man.
They reminded me of a young 1994 Marist Conference Championship team moving the ball, although they were doing some ball screens. That high ball screen, Illinois couldn't even defend it.
No, they couldn't defend it. It was unguardable. And some of those guys, so many trips they came down, and Illinois just didn't have an answer for them.
Yeah, they could go deep.
But they had good balance, good teamwork, good player movement, good ball movement, and they're kind of a little bit of old school, Pat. So that's what's kind of cool about.
They really are. Yeah, we talked about that earlier, actually. Oh, they really made it a half-court game, pounded it inside.
Yep.
All right,
yep.
Do you remember, this is, and believe me, this is not the only thing I remember. I remember so many great things. You stirred us. You stirred us into, you know, like I said, we took a conference championship back to Marist for the first time in I don't know how many years. But you're talking to us before a game, and you got the dry erase board, and we're in like a classroom, and you kept wiping the dry erase board off with your hand because Meanie didn't probably bring you a towel. Where the hell was Meanie, right? You should have grabbed his tie and wiped it with his tie. But then you would wipe your face as you were talking, and we're trying to like get fired up because we're facing like Joliet Catholic, and you got like marker all over your face. Do you remember that?
Laugh, and what really bothered me and got under my skin was when you guys, when I'm being serious and I'm talking to you guys, and somebody starts giggling or laughing, that pissed me off more than anything. And I had no idea, obviously, what you guys were laughing about.
Right.
But I do remember that.
So great. Listen, Coach, those bits I have are a tribute to you. I love you. I really appreciate everything that you did for Marist High School and for the South Side of Chicago. And happy retirement to you. You're a legend.
Thanks, Ben Doc.
All right, Coach. Thank you guys for having me today. You're listening to WGN 720.